Well, hello everyone. Today, as I'm recording this, but it'll be yesterday when you watch this, there was an attack, in fact an arsonist attack, on some Jewish ambulances in London. And there's been, you know, it's been the main story here. I should mention before, in fact, before I even get going, shortly after I put my video out yesterday, which was about the Iran war, Donald Trump backed down. He did the mother of all tacos. I'm going to cover that later on Office Hours, but I just thought I'd mention it because I know some people, you know, rely on this channel for news. I would actually expand your social media diet and not. I do commentary. I don't like give you the news. But yeah, that 48-hour threat to Iran, Trump backed down on. But I'm going to talk now about this arson attack on the Jewish ambulances. In fact, before I get going, I might as well mention to pick up courses at the academic agency. Trivium is the bestseller. Foundations of Shakespeare is the newest one. If you pick up the course and send the receipt to the publishers, which is Imperium... Academic Imprint, Imprint Academic. If you send Imprint Academic the receipt of Foundations of Shakespeare, you will get 50% off the book, and it's a very, very nice book as well. First run, probably sold out, but I think they're going to do a second one, so buy it now. Okay, so... there's been this arson attack in Golders Green, which is a Jewish area of London, or an area where a lot of Jewish people live. And it's been this big story where every single media outlet, politician, et cetera, has come out to condemn these quote unquote anti-Semitic attacks on these ambulances. And it's been quite an interesting day to watch the reaction played out, because I said the very first thing I said, and I said this on Twitter as well, is I said, for right or for wrong, the average reaction of most normal Brits will be, what, they're a Jewish Jewish ambulance, what the hell does that mean? Which was my reaction as well, and in fact that was the reaction of thousands, if not millions, of people up and down social media yesterday. There's a parallel Jewish emergency service. How does this work? And it turns out there's a parallel police service as well. Now, these are run as charities, and whatever the actual explanation is for why these things exist or whatnot, the fact is that 90%, 99% of people would have been learning about them for the first time yesterday. Okay, that is just the fact of the matter. And so the real net result of it has been a lot of people being like, hold on a second, how comes there's this special Jewish-run ambulance service, and how comes there's this police service that runs alongside it? You know, whatever the explanations are, that I'm just going to focus on the facts here. That is the fact of the matter, is that that will have been a lot of people's takeaway yesterday, especially since nobody was actually hurt in those appalling attacks on the ambulances, which were burnt out, of course. And the reason that that's important is because a large part of what I call counter jihad as a kind of political strategy is to talk about Sharia law and to talk about Muslims not integrating, and to talk about parallel institutions and how can this be allowed to exist. And yet, this is also there, these Jewish ambulances and police service. And so that is going to kind of undermine or undercut the argument that the quote-unquote Jewish Muslim community is, you know, causing sectarianism when this also exists. Because in the interest of consistency and fairness, which are very important to Brits, the question will be, well, hold on a second. If that's sectarianism, how comes that's not sectarianism? And this, you see, is the problem with what you might call the unprincipled exception. All of the time, it's the question of fairness and the question of one set of rules being for all people. And, you know, I mean, maybe this ambulance service and this police service that exist are completely innocent. Maybe they just run as charities. Maybe they just help everybody. Okay. But the, what I'm talking about is the perception. The perception among a lot of people will be, hold on a second. I thought, you know, the national religion here is actually the NHS. Everybody, nobody gets special privileges in this country. Everybody has the same services. And that has been a lot of the people's reaction, the kind of level zero reaction has been that. Okay. And I must admit, I was not aware of these kind of services until yesterday myself. Okay. And people can call, so because, oh, you're so uneducated or whatever. I mean, how is anybody meant to know about these? You know, like, for what possible purpose would anybody know about the existence of these special services in Golders Green? You know, I don't live there. Probably you don't either. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, of course, these attacks, these arson attacks, come in a very specific time, in a context of the U.S.-Israeli-Iran war, you know, the Iran war. And at a time where, for whatever reason, Israel has been very keen to get the U.K. involved in the war, there has already been two claims of Iranian attacks on British territory. The first was when it was claimed that there was a missile strike on their base in Cyprus. This was strenuously denied by the Ministry of Defense immediately. Then, just a couple of days ago, there was the claim of the Iranian attack on Diego Garcia. This also was denied. And then, within 24 hours of that, actually, you know, we had this. And again, it could completely be a coincidence, but a lot of people are going to look at that context and be like, "This is kind of interesting, isn't it? That this is happening at this time, especially when." A lot of, you know, Israel-friendly accounts immediately went onto the narrative that the three young men, I assume they're young, given how fast they were running, but the three people who carried this out, you could see them on CCTV, were actually part of an Iran-backed IRGC organization. I forget the name of this organization. It had an Arabic name. But it's kind of interesting because this organization has only existed for a single week. It was first reported in the Times of Israel 1 week ago. In fact, I'm going to get the name of that here. I will show you. I will just share my screen so you can see what I'm seeing. It was called, it's called Harakat Ashab al-Yamin al-Islamiya. Okay, this organization has existed for exactly 1 week as I'm recording this. And now they are apparently claiming this arson attack after similar attacks happened in Belgium and the Netherlands last week, which again is pretty convenient for those people who are arguing in the context of British domestic politics, not only for Britain to get involved in the Iran war, but also to prescribe the IRGC as a terrorist organization. And, you know, lo and behold, and here they are doing terrorist attacks. Now, the reason this has got my spidey senses tingling, friends, and the reason that I'm not jumping to any conclusions here, because there has been no investigation yet, there's been no confirmation of any of this, by the way, by a proper investigation, is because the IRGC's modus operandi historically has not been random terrorist attacks abroad, right? The IRGC have a different modus operandi. And, you know, I'm not a criminal investigator, but I've seen enough kind of cop shows to know when you look for MO, and you look for motive, right? Well, Iran don't want Like the IRGC specifically do not want Britain entering the war. That's one. And two, their MO historically has not been this. It has not been this sort of thing. So one of the things I'm looking out for to try to get my own read on this, so I'm going to do my own kind of amateur detective work on this, is, well, the IRGC are on TV fairly regularly now, whether it's Mohamed Morandi or everybody's favorite, the foreign minister. What's his name? Araji? Abbas Araji, I think his name is. He's everybody's favorite. They're on TV regularly being interviewed by Western journalists, whether on the BBC, CNN, Channel 4, etc. And since the IRGC or Iran are being accused of, you know, backing these arson attacks taking place in London, I would expect journalists to ask every single IRGC spokesman, did you have anything to do with this? Do you claim these attacks? Are you backing, do you have anything to do with that? And I would expect the IRGC to say, no, nothing to do with us whatsoever. You know, obviously not. This has been made up. That's what I expect the IRGC to say. But the fact is, everybody's jumping right now. Everybody's jumping to claim to you know, for their pre-made narratives. And I'm just saying to people, I'm saying in this video, hold your horses, because there's a lot of things that don't quite add up. Right, this is not a very IRGC like thing to do. Let's not forget, they are like the official. They're kind of, I mean, speaking of parallel institutions, they're like a kind of parallel army within Iran. And, you know, they're basically the government. It's basically the government of Iran. So it's a pretty big claim to say that the government of Iran, in the middle of a massive war where they've got their hands pretty full, are also paying people to burn ambulances in Golders Green, which is the claim being made by a lot of people online. I will say that is not the claim that has been made by anybody in the government or any of the politicians. They have simply condemned anti-Semitism. And in fact, that brings me to a third point I want to make, which is that every single mainstream media outlet, politician, spokesman, etc., came out immediately before any investigation was held to condemn these attacks. Okay, immediately they all came out. And I would just suggest that perhaps they're a bit premature by providing motive. They all said immediately these were, quote, anti-Semitic attacks. But that's quite a leap to a conclusion before the police have investigated it, before the counterterrorism unit has investigated it, and before MI5 have stepped in. In fact, this story was reported before the emergency services even turned up, which is, again, you know, a little bit of a head scratcher. So that's all of these are pointing to something that's not quite usual with this story, which is the way it's come out. Okay, I would prefer to see an investigation, and then once we have the facts, we can then say, well, what is it that happened here? At the moment, I don't have that information. I've got the same information as everybody else. And yet, every politician, immediately, regardless of party, came out with the same script here. Also, Wes Streeting went ahead and said the NHS basically would replace those ambulances. The cost of the ambulances would be replaced essentially by the government. What's interesting there is that he did it without any consultation, without asking the public, without any kind of government debate, without any cabinet meeting. Wes Streeting declared that by executive will, by executive right, by an unprincipled exception, you could say, almost like a divine right of Wes Streeting declared this, and yet nobody was consulted. This is taxpayer money that's now going to be replacing these ambulances. I should mention also that a number of people pointed out online that you know, a number of vehicles were due to be retired, and it was again various people online claimed that there was the kind of an insurance motive. I don't know about all of that. All I do know, the fact is that Wes Streeting is now going to use taxpayer money to replace the cost of this, you know, for these people. Also online, I saw that they've raised, I mean, at the time of recording, over £400,000, you know, from charity, from people donating, you know, after seeing these images on TV. So you could say, well, I mean, you know, they've got enough to pay for new ambulances. Okay. And that brings me now to the actual details of what happened here and a number of things that I find strange, especially if it is being claimed that an Iran-backed IRGC group did this, okay, that group I mentioned earlier on. Here are some odd things. Given that the IRGC is a professional outfit backed by military intelligence with significant funding, you know, as Iran does back groups like Hezbollah and also indirectly the Houthis in Yemen as well, you know, these are professional organizations. You might dislike them, but they're professional. And as we're seeing during the Iran war, they are more than competent. They can, you know, carry through on various different things. And yet, this group didn't bother to take out the CCTV. Also, they waited until no humans were around so that nobody was harmed. They ran across the camera so that everybody could see them on the camera, which they didn't bother to take out, didn't harm anyone, took out some empty vehicles, and then claimed it at a time where it is not politically opportune for their own government, but is politically convenient for the Israeli government. All of that doesn't make any sense. These are the details I've been given, and I'm looking at it and saying, doesn't add up, doesn't sound like the IRGC, doesn't sound like it makes any sense. So if I was carrying out the investigation, if I was a PC plotter on this case from the old counterterrorism unit, these are all the questions I'd be asking. Will they ask all these questions? I don't know. Don't know how all this works, but you'd think. I mean, if I was doing it, these are all the questions I would have. Another really interesting aspect of this. Now, I hate to invoke Professor Yang, okay, who's not everybody's cup of tea. And I have to say, with some of his kookier material, he turns me off as well. But one of the things that Professor Yang predicted, or prophesied, you could say, is he said that it's part of Israel's strategy to increase the perception of anti-Semitism, i.e. to increase the amount of anti-Semitism that's around. And in order to get people to leave, to get the Jewish diaspora to not feel safe in wherever they're living and to go to Israel. Now, again, when I heard that, I was like, that doesn't sound like it's going to happen. But in the aftermath of this attack, I noticed a huge number of these sorts of accounts, these very strong supporters of Netanyahu and so on Twitter, immediately come out and say, oh, look, it's not safe. It's like the 1930s in Britain. The UK is not safe for you. There is a place that's safe for you, and that is Israel. Right? So there was a huge push. I'm not making this up. You can go and look them up. They're still online right now as I'm recording this, to get people to leave the UK, to get Jewish people to leave the UK because these ambulances have been burned, and to move to Israel because the UK is not safe for Jewish people. And that is one of several predictions made by Prof. Yang that seems to be coming true at a rate of pace that is surprising me, to be honest. It is surprising me how quickly all of this is coming to fruition, given how crazy it sounded when he said it a few months back. So there we go. That is what I wouldn't want to speculate further as to what is actually happening here, but I thought I'd cover the story. I thought, you know, there are lots of questions to be asked with this one, just as there were lots of questions with several other events like this that have happened in the past 6 months or so. And, you know, I mean, as I've the dominant take on Twitter, you know, well, you can imagine what that is. And that is the one that is trending worldwide. Again, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions because I'd like to see the official kind of report, and I'd like to see a full investigation carried out answering some of these questions. I would like to see journalists ask Professor Mirandi or the Iranian foreign minister about these things. And I would like more people to ask these sorts of questions before jumping to conclusions. One thing that is very noticeable is that it's almost like a flick was switched and the entire political class were all on the same page. This also happened during the synagogue attacks in Manchester last year. That was a similar type of event where, you know, none of the normal questions were asked and everybody immediately jumped to this. And then like a week later, everybody forgot about it. Now this has happened. So there's definitely a pattern emerging here. Certainly it's proving some of Professor Yang's predictions true. But I can understand. I mean, most normal rich people are, as I said at the start, going to be wondering about the parallel institutions that exist. But a lot of other people will be correctly skeptical about the timing of this and the context around it. And again, because not all the facts are there, because no investigation has been done, I cannot come to any conclusions here. Let me know what you think in the comments. I'll be back later on in office hours to talk about the mother of all tacos. Trump chickens out yet again on the 48-hour threat. I'll talk about all that and more later on. Pick up a course. Catch you later. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.